It's time for Americans to start wearing masks in public, or more specifically, cloth face coverings. Ever since the federal government gave that new guidance on Friday, you have flooded our inbox with questions about masks. Where to get them, when to use them, how to make them. Dr. Abrar Karan is a global health expert and physician at Harvard Medical School who is with us once again, this time to answer your mask questions. Good to have you back.
Hey, good to be here, Ari.
I think a lot of listeners are feeling confused about the guidance on this. Let's hear from somebody who's trying to sort this out. This question comes from Phil in Providence, Rhode Island.
So my question is regarding whether or not are we supposed to be wearing masks. First, we're being told we should only be wearing masks if we're showing symptoms or if we're sick. Then we're being told that we should be wearing masks all the time regardless. And now we're supposed to be making our own masks at home. I'm really confused and lost.
I think Phil is not the only one who's confused and lost. There's been really conflicting guidance over time. Help us sort it out.
Yeah, you know, I can understand how this could be very confusing to a lot of people. And one thing that was mentioned in the question was, you know, initially there was a thought that we are focusing on people who have symptoms. As we get further data, we're now thinking a little bit more about people who are in a pre-symptomatic state. So people who, before they actually develop symptoms, are harboring virus and could be transmitting it to other people. And so the idea with trying to have more people cover their face and their nose is to blunt transmission in that way, particularly when you're not showing symptoms. So I think that is what drove this this push towards having more people wearing masks.
So it's less about preventing the disease from getting into the mask wearer and more about preventing it from getting out from the mask wearer. Is that right?
You know, that's definitely a good way to think of it. I think partly because, as you know, in the healthcare setting, right, there's a lot of conversation about wearing face masks versus N95s, and these have a dual function, right? One is to make sure that we aren't transmitting, and the other is to make sure we aren't getting infected as healthcare workers. Whereas for these more general cloth mask recommendations that have now come out from the CDC, the idea is at a population level trying to prevent transmission as much as possible.
Okay, now as you point out, the CDC is saying save the N95 masks for the professionals, which has led to a lot of people making their own masks. And I know you're a global health expert, not an origami expert, so I'm not going to ask you to tell us how to fold your own mask. But we did get this question about home crafting from Aaron in Washington.
If you want to make a mask out of materials you already have at home, what's the best material to use?
Well, as a doctor, I don't know if they taught you this in medical school, but what insight can you give us?
No, yeah. So certainly not something we learned in medical school, but I've been doing some reading on this topic. You know, it's something that a lot of us are thinking about. So some of the data suggesting perhaps using a high quality, quote, quilter's cotton. So this is something that they've looked at a little bit in terms of what people might be able to use. But I wouldn't be the person to tell you what is and isn't quilter's cotton. So
so quilter's cotton, whatever that is. I hear cotton sheets are good.
Yeah, you know, the trouble with a lot of this stuff is we don't have studies in the real world to really say if this is going to work or not, right? So this is a lot of this is theoretical, hoping that this would be another aspect that could help blunt transmission. But, you know, one of the keys to this is really to make sure that that doesn't change the things we're doing in terms of social distancing, like keeping 6 feet apart, you know, washing your hands. So one of the things from our side as public health practitioners is we don't want people to think masks are now an excuse to not be doing the other things that are important.
Yeah. We got a lot of questions about reusing masks. Here's one from Laurel, not far from you in Somerville, Massachusetts.
I want to wear a cloth mask when I'm out in public, but I can't really run the washing machine every day. Can I sterilize them by hand washing or other methods? Also, can surgical masks be sterilized and reused, or just reused after a waiting period?
What advice would you give Laurel?
Yeah, that was a great question. So the guidance from the CDC and from other experts is certainly that you should be washing the cloth. So if you wash the cloth, it should be clearing the virus off there in your washing machine with soap. If you wash it with hand soap, you know, under the sink. What we know is cleaning works pretty well. A lot of the studies in major medical journals have shown that that when you actually are cleaning off surfaces, it does remove the virus. So I'd say to really focus on cleaning those cloths, don't reuse them. And when you are taking the mask off, make sure you're not touching your nose and your face inadvertently. That's another pretty important thing. So that's what I would say to that.
You know, an artist friend made me a reversible fabric mask, and I was telling a doctor this who said you can't reverse it unless you wash it first. But if the goal of the mask is to keep an asymptomatic me from spreading my germs to other people, does it matter whether there's a clean side and a dirty side?
It absolutely does matter because you're wearing a mask not knowing if you're infected or not. You're now, you know, you should be social distancing. You should be staying at home. But let's say you had to go to the grocery store or something like that, right? Theoretically, if you were to touch something and then touch the outside of your mask, you could be spreading fomites and other, you know, germs and materials. So it's better to be careful and it's better to be washing it as much as you can.
All right. We also heard from some listeners who are skeptical that a face covering will work. Here's Mary Ellen Schmidt of Bloomington, Illinois.
I only go to the store as needed. I don't talk to people and I'm not sneezing or coughing. I don't think a mask will help even if I could find one. What are your thoughts?
Well, what would you say, Dr. Karan?
Yeah, so, you know, again, it's a great question. I think the key that she's saying here is that she's not leaving the house that much. She's just going to the store as needed. And this is just another added protection to help blunt transmission. But, you know, the keys, again, are social distancing. Don't get too close to other people. Wash your hands. A mask is something that's trying to add to that. And again, we just don't have the studies to know for sure how much that's going to impact transmission. But, you know, that's what we know.
Seems like these are all ways of reducing risk. And even if no single step is going to get us to 100% risk reduction, each little bit at least can't hurt. Is that the working principle here?
That's the working principle. And, you know, the concern is one where sometimes new interventions can change how people perceive their risk. So we don't want people to wear a mask and now think their risk is much lower, and then they may go do other things that actually put them at higher risk again. So
right.
that's part of it. And the other part is that these things can be harmful in certain ways, right? So if you, in the process of wearing your mask, are now actually touching your face more when you're taking your mask off, you could have potentially just exposed yourself. So you need to be very careful, even with things like putting masks on, cleaning masks, and all those things. And those are things that we do in the healthcare setting. You know, those are all things we think about regularly when we're putting our masks on or take them off.
Okay, we've just got a minute left, but we've got a question here that I think a lot of people have thought to themselves, if not asked out loud, which is, if you're passing someone on the street and you have the instinct to hold your breath or exhale rather than inhale, does that actually make any difference?
Well, you know, it's really sustained when you have sort of sustained contact with somebody for some period of time that you're going to be most likely to transmit. So if you just pass them very quickly, it's less likely.
Dr. Abrakaran of Harvard Medical School, also assisting with the virus response in Massachusetts, thank you for your work with them, and thank you for your help answering these questions with us.
Thanks so much.